Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. This episode, we have more NVIDIA news from the 4070 refactor to some RTX 50 series leaks. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKay.
Hey, Dennis, I gotta ask you, this is gonna sound really dumb, but I saw an article this week about the 4070 that says that NVIDIA is going to nerf these things. It's going to change their memory from the fast memory to some new slow memory. And if you don't hurry up and get a 4070, you're going to be screwed because you're going to get these slow cards. And I just got to know, you know, should we be telling people to buy the 4070s? Is this like an end is in sight for the 40Xs? I mean, what's going on? Why would NVIDIA intentionally slow down the card that we've been recommending as the kind of the sweet spot?
Wow. So we're talking about the 4070 again. I mean, for instance, like, you know, NVIDIA screwed up on the 4070 when it launched. Instead of just releasing the 4070, they said, oh, it's super. And then there was like one with 6 gigabytes of memory. And then they added 12 because a lot of people complained about it. So it's like, what's the deal with 4070?
It's like, right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in that same boat again, because it seems like everything got settled. We fleshed out the rest of the thing. We've got ties now. We've got all the stuffs, the supers.
The super ties.
Which, all right, to be fair, maybe people shouldn't be buying that card anyway because they should be buying a tie or a super. Mm-hmm. But is this a dumping? Are we seeing them dropping chips?
I think what they're trying to do is use up some excess inventory.
Right.
Sometimes we've seen it happen where they change something because they have too much of one thing and they can't sell it anymore. And for instance, with the 4070, we have an article that we can link down in the show notes, which is from PC World called the Shrinkflation.
Ooh, I like that word.
Yeah. Is hitting NVIDIA's RTX 4070 graphics card. And it's talking about how they're going to be using the quote-unquote slower GDDR6. Instead of the GDDR6X, which normally comes on the 4070 and has ever since its inception.
So that doesn't sound like that much difference. So how much difference is an X, I guess, right?
Well, if we go to another article, we can kind of look up some of the specs. And one of those would be bandwidth. So when we have a 192-bit interface, that's going to be how fast it's interacting with the GPU. And that is also a product of the clock speed.
Okay.
The resultant gigabytes per second is 480 with GDDR6 versus the 504 on the GDDR6X.
Okay, so that doesn't sound like a whole lot there. I see now that your article says it's about 5% slower.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, let me run this by you.
Okay.
So we've got the 4070 launch debacle. Then they put out the 4070 Ti, which fixed most of that launch debacle.
Yeah, the 4070 Ti was an awesome card. We have one of those in the lab.
We should link to that because I know we talked about that. Mm-hmm. And then now the 4070 Super's out, which is better than the Ti. There's no Super Ti because that would be funny.
Yeah.
But if there was, it would be better. So we're talking about a generational gap of at least 3 iterations on the 4070 alone.
Yes. A lot of changes have been going through, and it makes sense. I mean, it's the card that we recommend because it's decent performance. It doesn't cost a lot. And I think people are throwing this whole 5% of performance difference kind of, they're making a big deal out of it. It's 5%.
Well, it is 5%. And
if you wanted to get that extra 5% back,
you can overclock it, right?
All you have to do is overclock the memory. And the memory has a lot of headroom. It always has.
I get that, but I think the concern for me is that, well, if you were on the market for a 4070, which hopefully, you know, most folks are past it, that you're going to have to pay the same amount, the same MSRP for a lesser card. And in fact, if you're not somehow able to use your X-ray vision to look through the box, you don't know which card you're getting. At least probably won't. I can't imagine they're going to market it differently.
No, not really. The way I want to kind of look at it is that it's the exact same card. It just has different memory. That's not unheard of.
Well, I think the part that bothers me the most is that we have a history, right?
Oh yeah.
All products over time, the revisions should get smaller, faster, cheaper, more efficient, because mm-hmm. what we see, I mean, consoles even do it, right? Mm-hmm. Is, oh, we're going to release a slim down Gen 2, you know, half height card with the newest version of the Ada processor, and the memory is all smaller and more efficient, and we're going to pass that savings on to you, Dennis.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
But that doesn't seem to be the case.
No, it seems to be one of those silent but deadly, one of those little silent updates. And like I said, it's probably because they have excess inventory and right. they just want to use those up. And this is a great way to do that, because a lot of the 4070s that you can buy are the OEM edition. They're the ones that come with the NVIDIA cooler. They're much smaller PCB, and they're mostly sold to OEMs. So this is going to be one of those cards that you'll get from Dell, for instance.
Okay, yeah.
And people that buy a Dell computer don't really care about a 5% difference.
That's true.
The only people that really care about that 5% or that little extra bit of bandwidth are gamers that are really trying to min-max their builds, which is something that we have been advocating for many, many years, because it's fun.
Well, not only is it fun, but it maximizes your budget, like you just said. Mm-hmm. You buy only what you need, right? Leave the rest on the table so that you can buy other cool stuff like RGB mouse pads.
Oh, yeah. RGB. You have to have RGB everything. I mean, if you're not, what are you doing?
That's right. Embrace the RGB. We've been through that whole revolution here.
Now, one question that kind of comes up, and might be a good transition point.
Oh, okay.
Is that... you know, the 4070 has been out for a long time.
Yeah, three generations at least old,
and
we mentioned.
Well, and we talked about it on a previous podcast back in February, which I will link down in the show notes as well, which was the shaded, sorted past of the RTX 40 series. I felt it was a pretty good episode.
I think so too, and I think if I remember correctly, we recommended getting the Super at the end of that, and I did.
And it's a great card.
It is a great card.
Yeah. We have some rumors coming out that there's going to be a new card on the block.
Ooh, yes, that's right. Because if the regular production cycle of NVIDIA is to be believed, we are due a 50X card maybe as soon as this Christmas season.
Yes.
Most likely.
Most likely. I mean, if everything holds true, we'll have either a 5080 or a 5090, assuming that the naming convention is correct, and assuming that Blackwell... it's going to be available in the retail market.
Oh, now hold on. I'd forgotten that the 50X series is called Blackwell, because I know that's been in the news lately.
Yeah, there was a report that came out, because a lot of people are freaking out in the stock market right now.
Right.
So NVIDIA released earnings at the end of August, and they were kind of off the charts. They made money hand over fist again.
That's that AR stuff that we just talked about. We'll link to that also.
But the stock continues to go down.
Well, that's unusual, because my impression was that they are really the AI darlings and the sky's the limit, right? Because AI is the next big thing.
Yeah. And it's like, well, a good analogy is during the gold rush, people that were mining for gold didn't really make any money. The people that made money were the ones selling the shovels. And in this case, NVIDIA is selling the shovels to enable AI. And it's kind of a land rush to figure out who can build the best AI and the best way to use it.
So what does that have to do with video cards?
Well, we have the Blackwell edition, which was announced during Computex. Right. I was actually at that keynote. It was an hour and a half of Jensen talking about really cool stuff, which was pretty awesome. But throughout that entire presentation, not once did he really hint that Blackwell as a system would be coming down to the retail market.
Oh, that's really interesting, because they're building those AI nodes, right? That's what they're called.
Yeah.
Nodes. And they're selling as kind of a complete package, not unlike, you know, we were just talking about Nooks, right? So it's like a complete package and they're modular.
Yeah.
And then, I totally am coming back. Check out our previous podcast. So.
Yeah, well, and they're infinitely scalable, and that's what they call the Blackwell architecture.
But Blackwell is based around the 50X architecture.
Well,
where you're losing me.
Yeah, the 50X architecture is based off of the chip designs that are used in the Blackwell systems. Everybody's just been calling them Blackwell because we need to call it something. It's the code name.
It's a cool name. It's not an island, I mean, but it works.
Yeah, it's not. Well, and it's like Ada Lovelace was the previous edition.
Right.
And they have Ada Lovelace chips in the retail market. They have Ada Lovelace chips in the data center market. It's just that we call them something different when they're in the retail market versus right. the enterprise. Same with Blackwell. And that is where the stock is going down because Blackwell has been delayed. And I'm not actually surprised with this because when Jensen was talking about the Blackwell system and holding a board, he's showing the board off.
The board.
He says, this is what $1 billion of research and development will get you. And he was holding it in his hand.
One board. At least he didn't drop it.
Yeah, that would be great, right? So the fact that it costs so much was part of the research and development, why it's so fast and why everything is so integrated. But it also makes it extremely complex. So having it delayed at any stage is just going to push everything back. And while they wanted to launch it this year, it probably won't come out until next year, which will then also delay any 50 series card based off of that chip that might be coming out around Christmas.
Well, this is starting to sound a little bit familiar. I'm reminded of when they first did the die shrink, right? And they had trouble making the smaller die. Am I using the right term?
Yeah, it's kind of a die.
The smaller dies work. They could get less of them on a wafer. If you're thinking about that, right? Mm-hmm. And so there was kind of an artificial shortage. And now I'm starting to wonder if we're going to see a similar thing, because it makes sense to me that because AI is kind of the hot market right now, that if there's a shortage, those Blackwell processors are going to go to those Blackwell platforms, those nodes, mm-hmm. before they come to the retail market.
Correct. Although this is where it gets more of a projection. So we can't really comment on that because, of course, it's not really released. And we're more concerned about gaming.
Yeah, we are. Maybe we can't comment on that, but we can talk about some of the rumors because they're starting to get very solid, as you would expect if we're imminently releasing one of these in the next couple of months.
Yeah, we have several leaks.
So let's talk about the 50X. Maybe you don't want a 40X at all. You want a 50X.
50.
But what do we think you might be getting? That's where it gets fun.
Okay, so we are going to just hit some of the big sites.
All right.
So we have a Tom's Hardware article that was published as of this recording 13 hours ago.
Ooh, super hot off the presses.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed. The title is NVIDIA RTX 50 Series Blackwell Designs and Specifications Expected to be Finalized This Month. RTX 5080 rumored to have 400 watts of TGP.
Wow, that seems like a lot of TGPs. That's power, right?
Yeah, that's the power. That's basically how much power the chip is going to consume when it's running at full tilt.
Okay, so if we see a 400 watt TGPP, we're talking about a peak power draw of 400 watts, right?
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, we have talked about this in the past too, that our recommended minimum power supply size is growing and it may have to grow again.
Mm-hmm. It will. Lately, we've been saying 850 watts.
Yes.
And if you keep within the same wattage of your current GPU, you can keep that same power supply. Now, if you upgrade, you need to start checking to see how much power your new card is going to pull to make sure that you're still within that range. You might have to go up, may have to stay the same.
And you might want more than one card, right? Especially if you're running AI at home, which we talked about in a previous episode.
Yeah, you could definitely run something like two cards in parallel. SLI for AI. Right?
I like it. Should be a shirt.
Should be. All right. So we have a chart here that's on this site from Tom's.
So I want to preface this by sharing that this leak came from our friends at Seasonic.
I don't know if they're our friends, but some crafty programmer screwed up.
So they can send it to us. Send us some products, Seasonic. Be our friend. But what happened was Seasonic has on their site a PSU wattage calculator that will help you determine what size power supply you need. So you don't have to just trust Dennis and I that you need an 850, right? Mm-hmm. You can go out and actually figure it out with some measure of success. I mean, it's always an estimate.
And it's always a bit overestimating just to be safe because they don't want to get sued.
But Seasonic, of course,
one of the largest power supply producers in the world.
So they would have access to that early design doc stuff, mm-hmm. accidentally put it into their PSU wattage calculator so you could go out there and figure out how much power you needed if you were buying a 5090, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we have a list here. Let's just go down the list because, we can. RTX 4090, TGP of 450 watts.
So we know that.
We know that one. This is also the card that burned up all of the power plugs because they were made incorrectly. We have the RTX 4080, one step down, 320 watts.
Yeah, very reasonable. That's in AMD zone.
AMD zone, nice. Well, and the whole reason that we have less wattage is because there's less cores active, so it doesn't need as much power.
Right.
And now we have the 4070, which is what we talked about early in this episode, 200 watts.
Beautiful. The sweet spot. Again, if it wasn't such a screwy market.
Yeah. Now, of course, if you are on the ultra budget and you really don't care about gaming because you're on a budget, we have the 4060 and the 4050. 4050 doesn't even have a value, but the 4060 is 115 watts.
4050 has no power needs because it's that bad.
Yeah. Now, if we move into the RTX 5090 in the 50 series, now they've projected power from the Seasonic leak. We have the 5090 at 500 watts.
So that's a 50-watt jump from the 4090, which is not as much as that sensational headline would lead me to believe.
Now, we also have a couple of other leakers who have posted their own projections that they think is correct. We have a guy that posts on X or Twitter. He claims 600 watts. And then we have the Bench Life Info website. I never heard of that one, actually. 550 watts.
Well, they're living the bench life. So 500 to 600 watt swing still seems pretty speculative.
Yeah, not so much. We have the RTX 5080, one step down, and now we're seeing some very familiar numbers, 350 watts.
Okay, so that's a measurable improvement if we believe that the 4080 is going to evolve, if you will, into a 5080.
Yep. And see, the leakers also had a 400 watt and 350 watt, so pretty much in the ballpark, which is great. Mm-hmm. We have the 5070, which would be our probably new recommendation, 220 watts. And our leaker has the same wattage for that one. Now, 220 watts is just 20 more than the 4070.
Which is not too bad. So if we're speculating that it's a little bit larger to support that new architecture, that makes sense. It's pretty consistent across the board.
Yeah. Well, and NVIDIA does that on purpose because they want to have segmentation. So they make sure that they fuse off the chips in certain regions, one, to use up bad chips, but then also so that they can make sure that the price to performance ratio matches what they want to deliver to the customer.
Assuming they don't screw up the launch.
Yeah. We'll have a tie that's weird memoried and so much stuff.
Right.
Now we go down to the 5060 and the 5050, which I really doubt that we're going to have a 5050 unless it's like a notebook only or something.
Well, it's not a great naming convention, a 5050 card. Yeah. But we've seen worse.
Yeah. This one's the card flip. The 5050.
The 5050. You may or may not want to buy this card. Flip a coin.
Well, yeah, so we have 170 watts at the 60 level and 100 watts at the 50 level.
Well, what I think is interesting about this, in addition to the power draw requirements, which kind of gives us an idea of how much percentage-wise it's going to be over the current generation, but I think it's interesting that Seasonic is basically giving us the assumption, it is a safe assumption, that the naming convention and the levels are not going to change in the next generation. We're not going to see a weird random card in between.
No, no. I mean, there's a huge gap between the 5080 and the 5090, and that kind of makes sense. The 5090 is always supposed to be the halo, the full realization of the chip. And we still need to have room for the 5080 Ti and the 5080 Super.
Right, right. Well, and more optimization. Mm-hmm. Where does something like the 50X Titan level card go? Is that...
Oh, that's actually the 90. The 90 became the Titan, or the Titan became the 90. They changed that because people were buying Titans, but they were buying them directly from NVIDIA because they didn't allow board partners to take the Titan design and put custom coolers on it.
Right.
When they changed that rule, then they changed the branding to the 90 series. And then manufacturers are able to get that card, put custom coolers on it. That's when we get our 4, 5, and 7 slot designs.
Jeez, yeah.
And actually, extra performance and water cooling. And the fancy cars that everybody buys because of the belt buckle effect.
Oh, the unicorns.
Now, the Titan, which used to be like this desktop workstation card, you know, the full realization, that really moved more into the enterprise space where we have these AI tensor processors that you can buy, like the ADA 6000, 4000, 5000. Those are the cars that are designed for AI workloads, which really supplanted what the Titan stood for back in the day.
I think a lot of it is top of the line car, but also that's a cool name, Titan. I mean, yeah, we don't have names for our other Vita cards. It's kind of interesting to me that we've moved away from that. It's more like the European cars, right, where you just have the number set. Mm-hmm. But I kind of miss those days.
Yeah, I think they just ran out of names.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, branding is weird like that. It's like RTX Super X Titan whatever. And then how many times can you do that without sounding weird and stupid?
Titan 2, the sequel. Titan 3, even more Titan.
So if we move over to Reddit, there's a bunch of people that have been talking for the past 3 days about the power demands of the RTX 50 series. And they labeled them Blackwell because they don't really know what the code name is going to be, but they're making the assumption that it's going to be part of that Blackwell code set.
Right, which supports what we were saying. So I kind of get it. You got to call it something. Can't call it Titan. That's taken.
So through here, we have a bunch of people commenting on power and how it's going to actually be detrimental. And hey, I'm not going to upgrade because this is all I need, which is, you know, a fair point.
Right. We've talked about that quite a bit.
And let's see. What is it? What everyone already expected, given that they barely a lithographic improvement. So basically, this person is saying that there's not a lot of difference between the Ada Lovelace series and the Blackwell series, which is true.
Right.
There was only an incremental change between the two. And part of that was because it's already more power than you really need. What they're doing is just making the chip bigger so they can add more cores for the enterprise space.
Well, yeah, and that's the scalability that we've talked about that is being done in every market right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't entirely disagree, but this is also pretty normal for NVIDIA. When you command the higher end of the market, right, you don't need to recreate the wheel, right? You just make the wheel a little more efficient. Mm-hmm. People will buy it.
Yeah, there's no competition, so they can do whatever the heck they want. Oh, I do like Mr. Dear Chickpeas.
If you're out there, give us a ping.
Acting like we didn't already hit the card spewing out 600 watts of hot air into your room, I have space heaters that produce less heat on full blast. Typically, a small electric heater is 300 to 500 watts.
Oh, wow.
No amount of cooler tech will change the fact that you have a 600-watt heater running when playing games. NVIDIA has already gone insane.
That's a good comment.
Yeah, it's actually very real. And which is why we have these 4-7 slot coolers, because we don't need to have extra fan noise. You know, we've already gone through that where we had like these insane blowers that kind of mimic the leaf blowers and whatnot. But yeah, so they put these big heat sinks on there so that they don't have to have as much fan.
The heat still has to go somewhere. I wonder if we'll see a return of like active chillers and stuff to help cool these things down, because I definitely can tell when my PC's been on for a while under my desk because it gets warm.
Yeah. Well, and that's just the product of the technology. And I don't think it's going to get any better, but there is a way that you can kind of mitigate that. And you say, well, you get the brand new card because of certain technology that you want through there. And that's one thing that we don't know is why or how is the 40 series and the 50 series different, aside from just being faster.
Well, I mean, it's likely they'll try to get a revision to DLSS and RTX out there.
Mm-hmm, of course. But some of that stuff is also reverse compatible. It's not like the DirectX days when you had to have a DirectX 8 card to run DirectX 8 games. I mean, you can still run DLSS, but it just might run slower. Or you can still run the ray tracing. It just might run slower. But for how fast the cards are, that's probably not that big of a deal.
Well, I think the other thing that goes unsaid is the price of these things. Because if we look at the launch prices of the 4090s and 4080s.
Oh, yeah. That was like $1,000, $2,000.
Yeah. And up to $1,600 we were seeing for some of the boutique cards. So mm-hmm. We might, and I hate to say it, we might see the age of at least in the U.S., a $2,000 card on the high end. And that's not even taking into account the, you know, the boutiques and the overclocks and the one-offs that happen in that higher end market.
Well, we still have that with the 4090. And the reason I know this was because remember that build that I put together using the 011 parts and some...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we put a 4090 in there. And in the span of 3 weeks, the card went from $1,600 to $2,100.
Holy cow.
And that was the, it was the good card from Asus. It had the multi-channel, multi-stack cooler on it that we ended up swapping for an EK water block. Water cooled the whole thing.
Right.
But the fact that the card went from $1,600 to $2,100 also changed at around the same time that the U.S. government banned the export of those cards to China.
Ah, so demand got hot.
Demand got super hot. And, you know, so pre-ban, just like guns, pre-ban cards were being shipped overseas. They were basically being gobbled up because they figured they were going to disappear completely. That's not necessarily the case, but the price went nuts. And sadly, we had to pay $2,100 for the card. And, you know, we have an awesome gaming experience and a really kick-ass build that costs a lot of money, but it's what they needed.
Sometimes you can't put a price on the top end like that, and they count on that. That's how it works.
Yeah. Now, the last article I wanted to reference was one from Digital Trends, and they basically copy a lot of what this leaker has been putting on Twitter and stuff like that. So we can kind of spin through some specs. And we are rumored at the 5090 that it's going to be the GB, which is graphic Blackwell, the 202. That's going to be the GPU that's on this, with 192 streaming multiprocessors, SM units, 24,576 CUDA cores.
That's a huge number.
28 gigabytes of GDDR7 448-bit interface.
With wow.
With a memory bandwidth of 1.5 terabytes a second.
Oh, that's very impressive.
That's a lot.
I just see dollar signs. I'm not going to lie. Wow.
Now, the 5080, now remember, this was that 300-watt card. That's going to be the GB203, 84 SM units, 10,752 CUDA cores.
So it's like half.
And that's where that power drop came from.
Yeah.
We have GDDR7, 16 gigabytes at 256-bit interface, 896 gigabytes per second.
That's almost half all the way across the board. I mean, except for the memory interface.
Yeah, that's like hugely cut down. So either there is a massive yield between those two chips to warrant the basically the cut down nature of it, or they have something planned that goes in between.
Right, which makes sense. I mean, over time, we should see the ties and the supers if the trend continues.
Yep. Now, if we go down to the 5070, the one that we normally recommend, that's a GB205 GPU, 50 SM units, 6,400 CUDA cores, 12 gigabytes of GDDR7 at 192 bits, and 672 gigabytes per second. You know, the 5060, which we don't really care about, that's basically 36 SM units, 4,608 CUDA cores, and an 8 gigabyte, 128-bit memory interface. So the budget of the budget.
And it looks like they're pretty solid, they think, on the top two.
Uh-huh.
But the 5070, 5060, I see lots of question marks. So, and that makes sense because...
Well, those cards don't normally come out until mid the year later.
Yeah, at best. And in fact, we have seen some historic overlaps that were very long. In fact, we were just talking about that you might still be able to get a 2060 card.
Yeah.
A 2050 card. I don't know who's buying those, but...
Well, technically, they're still relevant, though, because when you get that slow or that low in the pecking order, so to speak, you don't really care about performance as much. You just want something to work.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, and that's going to go in the machines that aren't gaming or doing streaming and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, we have a paragraph here, which I thought was interesting based off of our previous discussion. We've heard rumors of a GPU referred to as a Titan AI.
Wasn't that an old Disney movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Something.
Just as the Lovelace generation, NVIDIA didn't end up using the whole Ada 102 chip, the RTX 4090 has much more juice available to it, but it was never used. And NVIDIA may do something similar with the GB202 chip. As a result, the RTX 5090 is said to be a cut-down version of the GB202 GPU, which will offer a 48% boost over RTX 4090.
Wow.
Meanwhile, the Titan AI graphic card would likely unlock everything the GB202 chip had to offer, coming up with a 63% performance uplift.
Wow, that's a massive performance boost over the 40Xs.
Yeah, and that might be why there's 24,000 CUDA cores on it, whereas the 4090 didn't have nearly that many. And it really just comes down to the size of the chip and how much they want to dedicate to the retail market versus what's going to be in the enterprise space. Because, you know, at these keynotes, they showed how big the chip was. And it was really a huge wafer. It just kind of basically fit in your hand. You're not going to put a chip that big into a gaming machine. And even an AI machine, you're going to get one of the dedicated AI cards if you're really serious about it. You know, the hobbyist will probably try a 5090 and they can get really good performance out of it, but it's not the best ROI, I guess. So I'll put all of the links to these articles in the show notes. If you're curious about it, you can go and check them out, or you can do a Google search just like we did.
And the good news, folks, is at least for now, until we know more about the 50X, the good old recommendation stands strong. If you have a 40X, at least a 4070 Ti Super or better, you can probably skip a generation. Time will tell.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2024. Thanks for listening.